I want to talk to you today about your koinonia. I bet you didn't know you had one, did you? I want to talk to you about your koinonia with God. I'll get it right this time in relationship. Try to get it just right. Let me introduce the lesson by telling you that in 1925 was the beginning of the National Spelling Bee. How many of you have ever participated in the National Spelling Bee? I know some of you have done this, some of our young people in years past, a little bit embarrassed. I don't believe it, Gorman. And Gorman was in the 1925 session. He came in first. He was the first one out, okay? So Gorman, you know I'm teasing and everything. But it started in 1925. And this year, there were 11 million young people in America. You cannot be over age 15 and be involved in it. And 11 million students were involved in that. It was held at the Gaylord Resort in Washington, D.C. And they get these hard words to spell. I believe the final word, don't put the one up that they had this year yet, but one word, and I know it's where I learned this from the National Spelling Bee, the longest word in the English language. You remember what that word is? Anti-disestablishmentarianism. And some of you who've been at that spelling bee may have learned how to spell the longest word. This year, the final word was koinonia. I'll get it right in just a minute, okay? It was the final word. What on earth is the meaning of this word koinonia? I'll get it right here in just a minute. You'd think somebody that studied Greek as much as I have would be able to say at least the final Greek word, but it was the final word. And I thought it was interesting. When I heard that word, I thought to the fact, I've heard that word somewhere, though I had trouble pronouncing it just now. What on earth does it mean? And then I thought about the fact, in preaching, we've used that word here at Palm Beach Lake several times. What is koinonia? What is that word? It is the Greek word for fellowship. And I thought it was interesting, the reporters trying to figure out what it meant, and not those who were giving the definition in the contest itself, but they says, well, we think it has something to do with religion. Folks, I want you to know that koinonia has everything to do with what we're trying to be in this place. We want today to talk about this matter of this Greek word, koinonia, and talk about the implication of that word as it works out in our lives. Because it is that Greek word, but what does it mean? What does the word fellowship mean? I've used this illustration before. Classic illustration. Ask a deacon in Birmingham. His name was Bill Baxley. What does the word fellowship mean? And he saw the word ship on the end of the word fellowship. And he was a big fisherman. And he said, I'll tell you what it means. It means we're all in this boat together. That's what fellowship is. It's a classic illustration of just what that word means. And it's interesting, and you may have not seen any connection at all between the text that was read from Luke chapter 5 and this lesson, but that very word is found in Luke chapter 5. There's a group of fishermen in Luke chapter 5. And you begin looking at it, and you may have heard of this fishing concern. It was a very popular fishing concern in the first century, rather well known at least. It was called the Peter, James, and John Incorporated. In Luke chapter 5, they were partners together. That's the word koinonia. They were partners together. What does that mean? It's a tremendous illustration of the very kind of things that we're talking about, because in this matter of partnership, some days you have good times fishing, and some days you have bad days fishing. Talked to a friend of mine in who lives in Tennessee, in Henderson, Tennessee, and talked to him. And he said, "I went fishing today," and I said, "What'd you catch?" And he said, "I caught one of the biggest sunburns you've ever seen." and he'd caught nothing. That's a part of partnership. You understand this? There are really great times in partnerships, and there are times whenever there is nothing to be done. Look at Luke chapter 5. We'll not spend much time looking at that, but it said, "Master, we have toiled all night and we haven't caught a single fish." That's partnership. They didn't stop just about midnight because others, they'd not caught any fish. And then at 2 o'clock, they were all still out there with their nets. And when the sun arose, at least by the time Jesus arrived at that place, they had taken empty nets and pulled all of those empty nets onto the shore. You know, there are some people who in a partnership just think, well, it's too hard to fish all night and not catch anything. You know what partnership is? Cast your net on the other side. And when they cast their nets, put your nets down again. They caught an abundance of fish, and so they called for their partners. There's that Greek word, koinonia. You and I need to understand that what this church is about is koinonia. We probably won't say that Greek word many more times, but it is about we are in this thing together. We're really, that's what it is all about. And so there is that vertical koinonia that has not anything to do with each other. That's the horizontal aspect of fellowship. But there is that fellowship that is by its very nature vertical. See if I can illustrate it. Adam and Eve in the garden before sin came. Adam and Eve, what have you got with God? Tell us about your relationship. Tell us about this partnership that you have with God. Tell us about what it's like to have this kind of an association with God. And there's that amazing world that God had made. Just in passing, by the way, have you ever thought of the fact that when Adam arrived on this earth, he had no more idea where this world came from until God told him than does any atheist on this earth? That's remarkable, isn't it? It was all here when I got here. If Cain and Abel had said, where did that world come from? Without revelation, you couldn't figure it out. And so here's Adam and Eve in that garden. And the Bible indicates that they walked with God and evidently talked with Him in the cool of the evening. Wow. What's that like? Here's this sinless world. Here's this world that has nothing bad in it to be found anywhere in this world. And there's this beautiful garden that the Lord had especially planted and put them in this garden and said, now you take care of this garden. And God came and God walked with them and God talked with them. I want you to understand, that's fellowship. That's the vertical aspect of fellowship. And then sin came into the world. And the Lord had said, the day that you eat of that fruit, that's the day that you will die. And death, while we think of it in reference to the death of the body, there is also spiritual death. The death of the body is when the spirit is separated from the body. But the spiritual death is when our spirit is separated from God. So the very day that they ate of that fruit, God said, get out of my presence. Fellowship was withdrawn by God Himself to teach Adam and Eve an unbelievable lesson, and hopefully to teach every one of us. These things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, and whenever sin was in their life, the Lord said, get out of my garden. And there's that angel with that flaming sword standing at the entrance to that garden. And as a constant reminder to the fact that vertical fellowship, while God sends physical blessings on the good and on the evil, and while God sends the sun and the rain on both evil and good individuals, there is that spiritual relationship. There's that kind of koinonia There's that kind of koinonia that is spiritual in its very nature, and it's one of the greatest blessings that we have. Hear these words written to a church, to Christians, many of whom were slaves. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. We're in this boat together with God. We're in God's family. And when one obeys the gospel, David, just like whenever Jesus was baptized, God looked down from heaven and said, "This is my son." Last Tuesday night, God looked down from heaven and said, "And that's my son in whom I'm well pleased." Isn't that remarkable? Brand new relationship. And the question I need to ask every one of you, do you have this relationship with God? That's what fellowship is all about. And that is what that vertical fellowship, that's everything that involves in it. Because you see, when God drove them out of the garden, God did not change. God still longs for fellowship. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the reason the day of the Lord has not yet come, and I'm talking about the final day of the Lord, the final day of judgment, is because the Lord wants to give every person on this earth one more chance to repent. Listen, you may be here this day, and it may be the last time you'll ever hear the invitation of Jesus. Thank God that He'll give you one more chance this day to have vertical fellowship with God. Because that's His very nature. And all that He's done in the Bible, and the story of the Bible, is an indication of the fact that deity longs to have fellowship with us. God longs for us to worship Him. Ever thought about the fact that since that first century, since the beginning of the church, when those Sunday mornings have come, there are those saints that assemble, and heaven awaits the songs of praise and the prayers and the communion that we have with God as He speaks to us during the sermon and as we speak to Him during the times of prayer. And we share in the fellowship of the money that we have with Him in order that His work might be done. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, I want you to hear a four-letter word that Jesus used to describe His relationship to this supper. The King James translates it, "With desire have I desired to eat this supper with you." The Greek word there, epithumia, is the word for lust. We usually use the word lust in relationship to that which is evil, but what Jesus literally said was, "I have been lusting, with lust have I lusted to eat this supper with you." Are you aware this morning that the Lord looks down and He lusts for us to be with Him around this table? How on earth any of you could consciously decide on a Sunday morning, though He longs with epithumia, with great desire, with the strongest desire, "I have desired to eat this supper with you, and I'll eat it again with you in a new way." How on earth can you wake up any Sunday morning and say, "I don't think I feel like going today"? With desire have I desired to eat this supper with you. The Lord also, Lord longs for us to have fellowship with Him in His work. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, works of which a man might boast, but it is by His grace that we've been saved through faith. For we are," listen to this, "we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, The fellowship that the Lord has with you does not end whenever He looks down from heaven and says, "This is my Son." The fellowship that we have with God is that we are doing it with His Word. You know, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, they may rest from their labors. It's a life of labor. You and I need to understand, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. He longs to work with us. And so here are these disciples. Whenever He says, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men," that's exactly what He's done for us. Laborers together with God. He longs to work with us, and that's the fellowship that we have. He has no hands but our hands. He has no lips but our lips. He has no eyes but our eyes. He has no ears but our ears. On this earth, as we meet people and as we're around people, we are the body of Jesus in that workplace. We're His hands there. We're His eyes. We're His ears. We're His lips. We are His workmanship. And that's the fellowship that we have. We're created for good works. And then finally, in that relationship that we have with Jesus, it begins the time we become a child of God, and it lasts through all eternity. Jesus said, "When I save you, when I give you spiritual life, you'll never die. Your body will, but you become a child of God, and you have fellowship with Him right this very minute. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. When we become children of God, there is that fellowship, Father-Son relationship. We are in this family together with God. God is our Father. Jesus, our older brother. And it starts the day we're baptized. And it is His will that it never ends. Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And you follow that verse and you'll never die. You have eternal life. And it starts the moment that you become a child of God, contingent on your faithfulness till the very day that you die. You will never die. That's that vertical fellowship. But there's another aspect of this, and that is that horizontal kind of fellowship, and we need to be aware of that horizontal kind of fellowship. We're in this boat together. Fellowship that is vertical is sort of individuals. But you and I need to understand that because we individually have a relationship with God, collectively we become the body of Jesus. We're members one of another. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about their hands in the body and their eyes in the body and their feet in the body, and that not every person has the same abilities and that brings the same thing into the body of Jesus. But he says the most meaningless part of the body is just as important as the most meaningful part of the body, whatever the most meaningful part of the body might be. The widow's mite was worth far more than all of that which was given who gave out of their abundance. Because you see, we are part of each other. And because we are part of each other, we need to recognize that we have a fellowship that is based upon the oneness of the faith that we have. When you hear the Word of God, you have faith. And one of the remarkable things is when you limit yourself to not adding to the Word of God or not taking away from the Word of God, you can travel to another state. You can travel to another country. And when you arrive in that other state and in that other country and you walk into a church of Christ, you know what you're going to find? A fellowship. You've been there, have you not? visited another congregation, and you, after services, they're there to talk to you, and all of a sudden you begin to talk to them about people they know in the church and others that they know in the church, and it's remarkable. It's the one faith that makes us all one. And so we become members of each other. Fellowship is so much more than what some people talk about as they talk about the family room, as we call it here. They call that the fellowship room. Let me tell you, fellowship is a whole lot more than coffee and donuts. You know what the real fellowship is? It's what's happening right this very minute in this very room. Fellowship, and here's that Greek word, koinonia, translated by another English word, communion. Is it not the bread? Is it not the koinonia of the body of Jesus? And so we are one bread and we're one body. And as one bread and as one body, we seek to serve Him. You and I need to understand that we share that which is good and that which is bad. I thought it was rather interesting that the announcement made about helping each other during the upcoming hurricane season. You know what that is? It's fellowship. It's koinonia. It's a realization that perhaps this year there will be those whose houses will be damaged, at least whose houses will be threatened. And there's a body of people that's there to help them put up shutters and to take down shutters. And don't you dare, if you have need, don't you dare be so self-sufficient and say, well, I can just do it all by myself. Especially those who are getting older, or those who are not quite as spry as they once were, don't you stand up and say, I can handle it all myself. And especially our older members of the church and our widows, we want to help you. Why? Because there is that vertical, there's that horizontal aspect of fellowship. So we share good times together. And there are great moments whenever there is that Mission Sunday contribution and we all rejoice. There is that time whenever, is just within the last few weeks, Richard Watson stood up and said, we surpassed the Mission Sunday monies. And in addition to that, another $50,000 has been given to this church by somebody who's not a member of this church. And so there's $90,000, and this over and above what we plan to spend this year. And here's how it's being spent. That's good times. But sometimes there are those bad times. And we share in those bad times together. And so when there's death, when there's disappointment in life, we share in relationship to all of that. Let me take just a moment and read to you the words of a song. We're part of a family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory. Through His precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. That's this horizontal fellowship that we're talking about. Because you see, we're one body and we share all of those one another verses that are in the Bible. David taught a 3-month study, I believe it was, looking at every one of the one another verses in the New Testament. And then made special application is how it impacted our teens. This was a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And it was the attempt by the leadership of this church, by David in those lessons, to express the heart of our eldership that says, we want to take care of our young people. And the application made in that lesson to those who were teens and now who are not in the teen group anymore is, we're going to do the one another blessings. We're going to take care of our young people in this church. That's this horizontal blessings that we have. With that concept, we need to understand there cannot be or there must not be in the heart of any one of us and them attitude. Folks, we're family. Do you know what they decided to do? That's that us and them attitude. When we're family, the family marches in the same direction in good times and bad with firm leadership. And so there is no us and them. When there's victory, we have victory together. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we cry together, we weep together, and we rejoice together. That is that horizontal fellowship. And so, we need to have fellowship in worshiping together. We need to have fellowship in working together. And we need to have fellowship eternally together. Let's make some application, though not as specific as I would like for it to have been. We need to understand that we do not just go to church. We are church. Get that concept. It's not, well, Sunday church is sort of a part of my life. One of our elders' wife in years past said, church was not something that we did, it's something that we were. And so it's not the young adults and our older members. It's not the young people, and it's not this ethnicity or that ethnicity. It's not those who have and those who have not. It's not the educated nor the uneducated. In Christ Jesus, every one of those barriers is broken down. And we're one body in which there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, Greek or barbarian, male or female, because we are one body, one church. That's the koinonia that God wants us to have. There is a need that we have. We need it throughout all of our lives to have deeper fellowship in worship. We need to understand that whenever we're singing together, we're talking back and forth to each other. Singing is not just some vocal exercise. It's not a time that we make sure we hit every note just precisely and exactly right. Thankfully, the Lord said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And all of us can do that. But in making that joyful noise, we're talking to each other. We sing together when we all get to heaven. I hope that when you sing that song, you look at all of the individuals or think about all of the individuals in this room and think, what a day that will be when He takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Folks, that's what fellowship is. And the same thing in praying. It's not just a matter of saying prayers, and because it's now time for us to bow our heads, we are fervently praying to God. God, help us. There's a deeper need for involvement in the lives of each other. I'd urge you to read the bulletin carefully and find out who's in need and know what's going on in each other's lives. So when we meet them at this assembly, we can talk to them, that we can share things together. And then finally, we need to understand that vertical and horizontal fellowship must go together. There is no vertical fellowship without there being horizontal fellowship. And there is no horizontal fellowship that is not based upon vertical fellowship. We are church, and we need each other, and we need to take care of each other. So as you leave today, forget koinonia. You don't even have to learn how to pronounce it to go to heaven, thankfully. You don't even have to know how to spell it unless you're 14 years of age and a national spelling bee. But you need to have fellowship in your life and make sure it's always there. Let me ask you, are you in this fellowship? Are you in that body that Jesus started way back there in the first century that says, we're just going to be Christ's church? He came and built the church, and that's what we're going to be, and that's what we're trying to be in this place. Christ's church. How did they become members of it? Oh, they believed with all of their heart that Jesus was the Son of God, and they made that decision. That decision is called repentance. And the Bible says, Acts 17, verse 30, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands every one of us to make that decision. And when we've confessed that our faith in Jesus is within our hearts, then we can be baptized into Jesus. That's fellowship. We can be baptized into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, into the name of the Holy Spirit. That's fellowship. That's the vertical fellowship we're talking about. And 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, and we are baptized into the one body. And that's why we have an invitation song that we'll sing in just a moment, to encourage you to do these things and let Him add you to that body and to become a part of this body. Become an active part. David, if I can talk about you and Casey one more time, you made that decision when David preached that sermon this year, challenged you to come to every service of the church. And even though you're not a member of the church, you and Casey said, that's what we're going to do. And it changed your life. There's another member of the church that told me just recently, not called him by name, but he sits back over in this direction, that I've started coming to church more, and it is amazing how much more spiritual I am. I may be getting older on the outside, but coming when the church doors are open is changing the inside of me. Two illustrations. One is not a child of God, but now he is, and one who has in part of his life not been as faithful as he could have been, but now has changed his life, and he says, and it's changed my life. You won't let the Lord change you? Then get active in his body and serve him as a part of his body, faithful until the day that you die, and heaven will be yours. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?